Sam had a haircut.
Looks good.
That's not good.
All right. Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Now we're getting a little bit of a late start here, but that's all right. I think it's just going to be us today. I did get an email from the Faust family, and they won't be able to make it today because of the weather. And I guess Chuck and Carla are staying home, and I think John and Ellen are too, and Carol. So, I have a feeling it's just going to be us today, but that's all right. We're going to go ahead and have church like we always do. Praise the Lord. But before we do anything this morning, we need to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to gather in thy name. We thank thee, O God, that thou hast given us this place. We thank thee for this warm building where we can come together, worship thee, and study thy word. We ask, O God, that thou wilt abide over these services today. We ask, O God, for thy inspiration, for thy blessing. We ask, O God, that thy Holy Ghost would be here upon each and every one of us. And we ask this, that thou wilt help us to praise thee in spirit and in truth, to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And we ask that thou wilt inhabit the praises of thy people here this morning. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. All right, well, if you can find your Melodies of Praise hymnal. We're going to go ahead and start with, number 85, He Keeps Me Singing. Whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath His sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face, this is why I shout and sing. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes He leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. It's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Even on a morning like this, it keeps us singing. You know, sometimes it feels like things aren't going quite right, but we still have that song in our hearts. And we have great joy when we serve the Lord. In fact, why don't we go to number 71 and sing Joy Unspeakable. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free as free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing, I am saved from the awful gulf of sin. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. I have found that hope so bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near, I can see his smiling face. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how its waves of glory roll. It is like a great overflowing well, springing up within my soul. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory. unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And the reason we have that joy is because the fire of God is burning in our hearts. Praise the Lord. Why don't we sing number 185, The Fire is Burning. Lofty height, and I've satisfied my longing heart's desire, for I caught a glimpse of glory bright, and my soul is burning with the fire. Oh, the fire is burning, yes, 'tis brightly burning, oh, 'tis burning, burning in my soul. Oh, the fire is burning, yes, 'tis brightly burning, oh, 'tis burning, burning in my soul. I will walk with Jesus, bless his name, and to be like him I every day aspire. For his love is like a heavenly flame, and my soul is burning with the fire. Fire is burning, yes, 'tis brightly burning, oh, 'tis burning, burning in my soul. Oh, the fire is burning, yes, 'tis brightly burning, oh, 'tis burning, burning in my soul. I my all upon the altar lay, as I to my closet lovingly retire, and the flame consumes while there I pray, and my soul is burning with the fire. Oh, the fire is burning, yes, 'tis brightly burning, oh, 'tis burning, burning in my soul. Oh, the fire is burning, yes, 'tis brightly burning, oh, 'tis burning, burning in my soul. By faith I ask in the ocean's foam and beyond, I see the haven I desire. There I view the beacon lights of home, and my soul is burning with the fire. Oh, the fire is burning, yes, 'tis brightly burning, oh, 'tis burning, burning in my soul. Oh, the fire is burning, yes, 'tis brightly burning, oh, 'tis burning, burning in my soul. Oh, the fire is burning, yes, 'tis brightly burning, oh, 'tis burning, burning in my soul. Oh, the fire is burning, yes, 'tis brightly burning, oh, 'tis burning, burning in my soul. Praise the Lord. I am so thankful for that fire, that Holy Ghost. And we know that the Holy Ghost is also our comforter, so why don't we say number 56, The Comforter Has Come. Spread the tidings round wherever men is found wherever human hearts and human wars abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found. The Comforter has come. The long, long night is past. The morning breaks at last. And hushed the dreadful wail and fearing the blast. As o'er the golden hills the day advances fast. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found. The Comforter has come. Lo, the King of Kings with healing in his wings, to every captive soul a full deliverance brings. And through the vacant cells the song of triumph rings. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found. The Comforter has come. Oh, boundless love divine, how shall this tongue of mine to wandering mortals tell the matchless grace divine? That I, a child of hell, should in his image shine. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found. The Comforter has come. Praise the Lord. Thankful for that Comforter, that Holy Ghost that dwells inside us. Praise the Lord. Why don't we sing number 237, I've Anchored in Jesus. boundless ocean where mighty billows roll. I've fixed my hope in Jesus, blessed anchor of my soul. When trials fierce assail me as storms are gathering o'er, I rest upon his mercy and trust him more. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind nor wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored to the rock of ages. He keeps my soul from evil and gives me blessed peace. His voice hath stilled the waters and bid their tumult cease. My pilot and deliverer, to him I all confide. For always when I need him, he's at my side. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind nor wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored to the rock of ages. He is my friend and savior, in him my anchor's cast. He drives away my sorrows and shields me from the blast. By faith I'm looking upward beyond life's troubled sea. There I behold a haven prepared for me. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored to the rock of ages. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored to the rock of ages. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I think I'll just briefly take up the collection here and then we'll sing one more song and then go into the Word. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We know, O God, that these funds belong to thee for thy purpose, for thy glory. We ask, O God, for thy wisdom on how these funds should be used. And we ask that thou hast blessed the givers here this morning, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more song before we get started in the Word, and it's an easy one to find. It's number one in the hymnal here, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel, race ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord.
tribe on this terrestrial ball. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That name of Jesus is above every name. Praise the Lord. No other name like it. Glory to God. So thankful for that name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to get started in the Word. And there's going to be a slight change of plan. I figured that since so many people are out today because of the weather, I know we've all been enjoying the book of Genesis, and I know a lot of people would be sad if they missed that. So what we're going to do, we're going to go to the book of Mark, and we're going to look at some of the miracles of Jesus this morning. That's always a wonderful thing to do, too. Praise the Lord. So we're going to be starting in the fourth chapter of Mark, going down to, I believe, the 35th verse. But, of course, before I get started, before I do anything, I want to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to study thy word. We thank thee that thou hast brought us here this morning. We ask, O God, that thou hast inspired us. We ask that thy word would come alive in our hearts. We ask, O God, that thou hast move upon us, that thy Holy Ghost would flow and be upon each and every one of us. We ask, O God, that thou hast open our eyes to see thy scriptures, to have greater understanding of thy word, greater than ever before. We ask, O God, that thou hast help us to grow in thy knowledge and in thy word. We ask, O God, that thou hast give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand what thy scriptures say. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, this should be interesting because usually I study for a message, and I didn't for this one. And I mean, I studied for a different one, so we're going to see what happens here. We're going to see what the Lord does. We're going to be starting in Mark chapter 4, going down to verse 35. And this is going to tell us about a wonderful miracle from Jesus. Jesus, who has power over everything in this world and in the entire universe. And it's nothing too difficult for him to calm a storm. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35, it tells us, "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." So there they were, and they were on this ship on the sea, and all of a sudden a great storm comes up, and the waves are beating against the ship. You know, in our lives sometimes a storm will come up, and those waves are beating, and it seems like nothing can calm that storm. But there is one who can calm that storm, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. because there is nothing too hard for him. Verse 38 tells us, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? So here there's this great storm going on, and they're fearful and afraid. His disciples, they're afraid that that ship is going to be destroyed. Obviously, it was a very frightening thing, but Jesus, it didn't bother him any because he has control. You know, he can change the weather. He can do that. That's not too hard for him. And he certainly can calm his storm. So he was sleeping. He was in the back of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They came up to him and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Of course we know that he cares for each and every one of us, insomuch that even the very hairs of our head are numbered. That's how much he cares about us. He takes an interest in our lives, which is an amazing thought because we really don't deserve it. You know, the scriptures tell us that all the nations are as the drop of a bucket. That's all the nations. So if you can imagine us, little specks, we're not worthy of his consideration, and yet he loves us. He takes an interest in our lives. We have a relationship with Jesus, and I don't believe it's a one-sided relationship. You know, people, they might wonder why Jesus never answers. He does. Maybe we're just not listening. There are a lot of distractions in this world, and sometimes it's hard to hear the voice of God because there's so many other things competing for the capacity of our brains, so many other things we're paying attention to. But if we just listen, we can hear the voice of God, and he does take an interest in our lives. He does care for us, and he did indeed care about his disciples. So to ask, carest thou not that we perish? Well, of course he did, and he knew they weren't going to perish. They should have known also. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You know, when those storms of life come up, and you feel like all is lost and everything is going wrong, Jesus can come along and just say, Peace, be still. And the storm will calm. There will be a great calm as the presence of the Lord comes upon us. Praise the Lord. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Well, the thing about that was he wasn't just a man. It was God robed in flesh, God manifest in the flesh, come down from heaven, born of a virgin. And he had all the power, even power over the weather, even power over storms. There's nothing too hard for our God. Praise the Lord. And we are going to continue on in the fifth chapter of Mark. In Mark chapter 5, verse 1, it tells us, And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, and no, not with chains. So this man had a lot of demons living inside him, and those demons gave him a lot of physical strength. They couldn't even bind this man with chains. He would just break them in sunder. So they didn't really know what to do with this guy. He obviously had a problem, but the Savior was coming, and the Savior was going to deal with this mess. It tells us in verse 4, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. This man could not be tamed, not by any other man, but the Savior was coming. And Jesus could tame this man, and he did. We will see that as we read on. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. You know, obviously this man had a lot of demons, a lot of devils. And he would be out howling, crying in the tombs.
and cutting himself. And, you know, that's one of the things people do a lot of times when they have evil spirits living inside them, when they're tormented by demons. And, you know, sometimes you hear about that, people who cut themselves, and it's something they say they just can't help but do. They have to do it. And sometimes you'll see people, it's very sad, they have scars all over their arms and so forth. And yes, it is evil spirits that make people do that. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. You know, this man, he wanted help. He didn't know where to turn until he saw Jesus coming. He knew who he was. He ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice. And of course, the demons inside this man, they didn't like Jesus at all. They were fearful and afraid of him. They knew that Jesus was coming, and they were immediately threatened by that. See, the devil's inside, and they recognized Jesus too, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." So Jesus cast out the unclean spirit and all the devils living inside this man. And there were a lot of them, as we'll see. And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." There were many, many, many devils living inside this man, but Jesus cast every single one of them out. Praise the Lord. He can do that. That's not too hard for him. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." It's really something. These devils, they didn't want to leave the country. They didn't want to go too far away. They obviously liked their location. So they were probably thinking, well, just let us go into the swine, and it'll be a temporary place until we find somewhere else to go. And, you know, Jesus, he allowed that. It tells us in verse 12, "And all the devils besought him, saying, 'Send us into the swine, that we may enter into him.' And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choking the sea." And as my dad used to say, that was the first deviled ham. But, you know, when you look at this, the reason I believe this happened is because those demons who lived inside this man, they were very violent. They were violent demon spirits, violent devils. And when they went into the swine, they reacted violently, and they were cast into the sea. You know, there are different kinds of devils out there. They're all fallen angels. They were once angels, and of course, we know that the devil, he too was an angel at one point, but because of his wickedness and his rebellion, he was cast out of heaven. And some of the evil spirits there, they too were cast out for the rebellion, thrown out forcefully, and then there were others who left voluntarily. And I know my dad always believed that the ones who left voluntarily, those would be the demon spirits who are the intellectuals, the ones who like to be in politicians and world leaders and dictators and so forth, the intellectual evil spirits, the ones who think they know everything. And then there are others who are very violent, and the ones who were in this man, they were obviously very violent evil spirits. Let me see what they did to the swine. They weren't in the swine very long. But this was quite a sight. The people around that, when they saw what happened to those swine, they were afraid. They were fearful. It tells us in verse 14, "And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." Praise the Lord.
You know, that's not something they should have been afraid of, but they were. They couldn't understand how this could be. They knew this man. They knew how he had been and what he had done, how he was in the tombs crying, how he was cutting himself. But there, he was in his right mind. He was clothed. And that scared him. But, you know, it's really interesting when you look at this. It tells us that after Jesus cast those devils out of him, he was in his right mind. And, you know, they tell us there's a lot of mental illness out there today, and there probably is. But, you know, sometimes those mental illnesses, they too are caused by evil spirits. Sometimes when people seem to be crazy, it's because they are crazed with demons. And they can be cast out. And after that happens, suddenly they're in their right mind. I know psychiatrists and psychologists and so forth would probably be mad at me for saying this, but when you look at that, when Jesus cast out these devils, this man was in his right mind. Praise the Lord. Jesus can even heal the mind. Praise the Lord. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. They didn't want him to stick around. They were scared. They couldn't understand this. You know, they should have been happy. They should have been rejoicing, but they were fearful and afraid. So they were praying. They were asking Jesus that he would depart out of their coasts. And it tells in, it's in verse 18, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. So this man, he wanted to go with Jesus. He wanted to follow him and be with him. But he had a mission from Jesus, and he was supposed to stay there and be a witness. And you know, every time those people from there saw that man, I'm sure they couldn't help but think of Jesus. They knew that man and how he was the way before, and how he was completely changed. He was no longer in the tombs howling. He was no longer cutting himself. He was no longer breaking chains that they would try to bind him with. No, those evil spirits were gone. Praise the Lord. Verse 19 tells us, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. Praise the Lord. So Jesus gave him a mission. He told him, go home, tell your friends, tell them all about it. Tell them about Jesus, and how he can change your life. How we can heal your body, how we can heal your mind, how there's nothing too hard for Jesus. Praise the Lord. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. They marveled when they saw that man because they knew him. They knew how he had been, and they couldn't believe the difference. They were shocked. Let's continue on here in verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And that's a wonderful thing to do, to fall at the feet of Jesus. That's something we all need to do. And besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Praise the Lord for that faith. This man, he believed, he knew that if Jesus would just come and touch his little daughter, she would be healed. Oh, what faith. Oh, if only we had faith like that. If we had faith like that today, we would be healed also. Faith in Jesus Christ with nothing wavering, just believing, truly believing that he will heal us. For he is the healer. Verse 24, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment.
You know, doctors these days, sometimes they can help you by the grace of God. Sometimes the Lord will give them the answer, whether they realize it or not. But a lot of times, those doctors, they'll just make you worse. And this was a problem all the way back there. It's still a problem today. Sometimes there are things they just don't know what to do. They can't figure it out, so they guess. Try this medication, and if that doesn't work, try this medication, and so forth. And meanwhile, people get sicker and sicker and worse. And this same thing had happened to this woman. It tells us she suffered many things of many physicians. She must have gone to see a lot of doctors, and none of them were able to heal this woman. None of them could help her. They made her worse. Sometimes that's the way it is. But she heard Jesus was coming. She heard the Savior was coming, and this woman had great faith too. She believed that if she could just reach out and touch his garment, she would be completely healed. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. She was reaching out in faith, believing that she would be healed. And she was. Verse 28 tells us, "For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." Healed instantly. Reaching out, touching Jesus, just touching the hem of his garment. And that's all it took. That's all that was needed for that complete healing, because there is so much power in Jesus, in our faith in him, when you believe that he will heal. And this woman believed. She reached out in faith. She touched his garment. And that's all that was required. She was healed. Praise the Lord. Oh, if we would just but reach out to Jesus. Verse 30, "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?'" Jesus knew. He felt that virtue. He felt that power, that healing power surging from his body, gone out to heal that woman. He knew somebody had touched him. Praise the Lord. So he asked, "Who touched my clothes?" And you know, there was a big crowd there, a great multitude. So of course the disciples, they kind of marveled at that. Verse 31, "And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?'" In other words, they're saying a lot of people probably bumped into you and touched you and so forth. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. And he saw her, he recognized her when he saw her. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. So we see initially here, when she realized that Jesus knew, she was afraid. But we don't have to be afraid of Jesus. Praise the Lord. But this woman, she was fearful and trembling. But it tells us in verse 34, "And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague.'" Praise the Lord. How wonderful that must have been to her, that not only did he heal her, not only did that healing virtue, that power flow from his body, but he looked at her and he called her daughter. Praise the Lord. She didn't have to be afraid. "And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.'" Because of that faith she had, she was made whole. If we would just have that faith, we too could be made whole, completely whole. "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, 'Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?'" You know, Jesus, it was known that he was a healer. A lot of people heard about that. They knew he could heal. But he was going to do something even greater than that. And this little daughter from the ruler of the synagogue, she died while Jesus was on his way. And, you know, they thought, well, that's too bad. It's too late. Don't trouble the master any further. She's already gone. There's nothing that can be done. But with Jesus, we never have to say that. We never have to say there's nothing that can be done. because there's nothing too hard for the Lord. He even has power over death.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And verse 36 tells us, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. So he's telling him, don't lose your faith. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Just believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth a tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And there were professional mourners there, people who would come and cry. They would just do that. It was a tradition for the Jewish people of that time. When they were mourning a loss, there were people who would come and they would cry, but, you know, they weren't sincerely mourning. We'll see that, their reaction to Jesus after he makes this proclamation here, that this girl actually isn't dead, but sleeping. We'll see how they react. These professional mourners, you know, one second, they're crying their eyes out, bawling out their eyes. But Jesus tells them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother. Let me just turn the page here. He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. So when he told them she was sleeping, they laughed him to scorn, and he threw them all out, praise the Lord. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And you know, when God speaks, when the Lord Jesus speaks, the creation, all of the creation must obey his commands. Just as the sea and the waves and the storm had to obey the words of Jesus, so too did this daughter of this ruler of the synagogue, when Jesus told her to arise, even though it looked to everyone else like she was dead, she was gone, no life in her. Well, nothing seems too hard for the Lord. And he told her to arise. Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. Praise the Lord. People would marvel at that. See, they knew that Jesus could heal. They'd seen him heal others. But he even had power over life and death. And you know, when they saw that, they just couldn't believe it. Praise the Lord. Verse 43 tells us, and he charged them straitly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Praise the Lord. Isn't it amazing how much our Savior cares for us? Yeah. He even wanted to make sure she had something to eat because she was hungry. He knew that too. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. We're going to go into the sixth chapter, but we're going to go down to verse 30, and we're going to read about another miracle from Jesus. You know, sometimes in this life we worry about, what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink. We shouldn't. What we're going to wear, where we're going to get clothes for our back, the roof over our head, how our needs are going to be provided for. But there's nothing too hard for the Lord, and he can take a little and make it a lot. We're going to see that in the feeding of the 5,000, which begins in Mark chapter 6, verse 30. Verse 30 tells us, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. So Jesus was very busy. His apostles were busy too. There were great crowds that were following. Obviously, they wanted to see the miracles, and he taught and preached like no other man ever had.
because he wasn't just a man. It was God robed in flesh. When he spoke, there was great power there. And, you know, to the crowds there, it was captivating. So they would follow him. But they were in this desert place, and there wasn't a whole lot to eat. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. So here they are on the way to that desert, but people are still following. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. So when he saw that crowd, he did have compassion on them, and he began to teach them. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. They must have been there a long time. A lot of time must have passed. And in verse 36, his disciples are telling Jesus, send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. So they're telling him, Jesus, these people, they've been here a long time, they're hungry, they have nothing to eat. You should send them away, send them out to buy bread so they can eat. Verse 37, he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. That must have been startling to them. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? So they're asking, should we go out and buy 200 pennyworth of bread, which must have been a good quantity of bread at the time. You couldn't get a whole lot of bread for 200 pennies nowadays, but back then you could get some for that. He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. So they had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. There were 5,000 people there. And Jesus told them, give ye them to eat. Well, praise the Lord, there's nothing too hard for Jesus. He can feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. Well, praise the Lord. That's what you call making it stretch. 5 loaves, 2 fishes, 5,000 people, and they all had some to eat. And you know what? They were all filled. They were all satisfied. You know why Jesus was able to do this? Because he is the great I Am. That same great I Am which rained down manna from heaven for the children of Israel in the desert. And here they are again in a desert, nothing to eat. And Jesus takes that bread and he uses it to feed 5,000 people. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. He can provide for us. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we may not know how we're going to provide for our needs, but Jesus can provide for us. There's nothing too hard for him. So not only were these 5,000 filled, they were all satisfied, but there were leftovers. Verse 43 tells us, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. So initially there were 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and yet when they picked up the remnants, the leftovers, there were 12 baskets. Praise the Lord. Jesus can do that same thing for us. He can take a little and multiply it to a lot to provide for our needs. Praise the Lord. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Praise the Lord. In verse 45, we'll continue on. It tells us, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship
and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. You know, sometimes Jesus needed to be alone, to be by himself. And there's always a multitude around who wanted something from him. But sometimes he would just go off by himself and pray. And, you know, he was both God and man, so that portion of him that was man would pray. That portion of him that was man would get hungry, would get tired, would need to sleep. We know that God dwelled inside him, but he was both God and man when he was here on earth. And sometimes he would just go off by himself. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. So they left ahead of time, and Jesus was by himself. And he was catching up, though. After a while, he was just walking upon the sea. He would have walked right by them, from what we're reading here. It's no hard thing for Jesus to walk upon the sea. Verse 49 tells us, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. You know, people have this tendency to be very fearful and afraid. So he had to tell them over and over again, be not afraid. Don't be so fearful. You have nothing to fear. And you read the Gospels and all throughout, he keeps reassuring them that they don't need to be afraid, and he's doing that here again. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. You know, Jesus had just performed this amazing miracle. He had taken 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But it tells us in verse 52 that they didn't even consider that miracle. They should have been amazed. They should have been glorifying God. They should have been worshiping Jesus. But it didn't really have much of an impact on them. You know, maybe being around Jesus so much and seeing so many miracles, they started to take that for granted. Maybe they thought it would always be that way. Maybe it was getting too easy for them. But it tells us they considered not that miracle, for their heart was hardened. Verse 53 tells us, and when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through the whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was, and whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, as many as touched him were made whole. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus is a miracle worker, and they must have heard about that woman who had touched his garment and was healed. Now there was this whole crowd there, and lots of people were doing that, and they too were healed. That healing virtue was flowing, that power from God, that healing power from the Lord. Praise God. Well, those are some of the miracles of Jesus, and there are many more we could look at. I don't know if we should keep going. Why not? We have a little time left. Why don't we go over to Mark chapter 7, and we'll look at verse 31. And we're going to see more healings from the Lord Jesus. Mark chapter 7, verse 31 tells us, and again departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And they took him aside from the multitude and put And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his eyes, and he spit and touched his tongue. And you know, that may not seem very glamorous to a lot of people to be healed in that manner with spit, but I don't know about you, but I would be happy to have Jesus spit on me. Praise the Lord. Even his spit has healing power. Glory to God. And he spit and touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. You know, this man had been deaf and he had been dumb. You know, if you can imagine how horrible that must have been for this man. Not only could he not hear, but he couldn't speak either. I know a little something about not being able to hear, but not being able to speak too. That must have been awful. But Jesus healed this man, and he can heal each and every one of us too. No matter what the problem is, we just must have that, we must have that faith, believe with nothing wavering that he will heal us. Praise the Lord, for our Savior is a miracle worker. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. They were so excited that they couldn't help but talk about it. They were telling everybody they saw about the healing power of the Lord Jesus, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Praise the Lord. Jesus is a healer, a miracle worker. There's nothing too hard for him. You know, if our bodies need healing, he can heal us. If we have needs that must be met, he can provide for those. It's not too hard for the Lord. And it's kind of interesting here in Mark chapter 8, he's going to feed another multitude. In Mark chapter 8, verse 1, it tells us, In those days, the multitude being very great, and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. Well, that's really something to stop and think about that. That crowd was there. They stayed for 3 days without any food. They had nothing to eat, absolutely nothing. And Jesus had great compassion on them. He knew they needed to be fed, and he was going to feed them. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. So these people, they came from all over the place, from great distance. And Jesus, he had compassion on them. He knew they needed to eat. They didn't have any food, really, but that wasn't a problem for the Lord. And his disciples answered him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. Well, that's a little bit more than they had before, as far as loaves go anyway. Before it was 5, and now they have 7. You know, after they saw what Jesus did before with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, they should have known that he could do the same thing here with 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. They had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. That was a little bit more than the last time. But Jesus took this and multiplied it again to feed the multitude. 7 loaves and a few fishes. It doesn't say specifically how many fishes, but couldn't have been too many. 7 loaves and a few fishes, and yet he was going to feed this whole crowd. It's not too hard for the Lord. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. So he did it again. 7 loaves and a few fishes. That's all they had, but he took that and he multiplied it, and he fed that whole multitude. They were filled, and again, there were leftovers Praise the Lord. Seven baskets. He can take a little and he can make it a lot. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. So we've had 4,000 people there. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmathina. So praise the Lord. We look and see what Jesus had done, his many miracles, and there are many, many miracles we could look at, so many miracles. But we probably don't have time to cover them all today. So I think I'll stop right here. But we know that our God is a mighty God, a miracle worker. There's nothing too hard for him. And Jesus, he can heal our bodies. He can heal our minds. He can provide for our needs. We just must have faith. Faith, unwavering faith in him that he will do it. And when you have faith in Jesus, that's when the miracles start to happen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy scriptures. We thank thee for the many lessons thou hast taught us in thy word. We thank thee for thy many miracles and the many ways thou hast provided for us. For we know that thou art with us and that thou hast compassion on us and that thou hast helped us even at times when we didn't even realize it. We thank thee, O God, for thy many blessings. We thank thee that thou hast been with us. And we ask, O God, that these words we read today would not leave our hearts, but that they would have an impact on us, that we would never forget thee, and that we would have great faith in thee, growing faith. Oh God, make our faith stronger, we pray, Lord. Help us to believe thee, to believe thy promises, to believe that thou canst heal, that thou canst provide, nothing wavering, for we know that thou art the great I am, and we thank thee, O Lord, for thy many blessings. We ask, O God, that the Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us as we go forth today, and we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to sing a chorus in closing. I just need to find the number really quick, and that shouldn't be too difficult. Praise the Lord. We are going to sing number 67 in the chorus book, Jesus is a Miracle Worker. Jesus is a miracle worker, a miracle worker, a miracle worker. Jesus is a miracle worker. Oh, let him work in you. I know Jesus can do anything. He can touch the lame in his name. I know Jesus can do anything. Oh, let him work in you. Jesus is a miracle worker, a miracle worker, a miracle worker. Jesus is a miracle worker. Oh, let him work in you. I know Jesus can do anything. He can touch the lame in his name. I know Jesus can do anything. Oh, let him work in you. Jesus is a miracle worker, a miracle worker, a miracle worker. Jesus is a miracle worker. Oh, let him work in you. I know Jesus can do anything. He can touch the lame in his name. I know Jesus can do anything. Oh, let him work in you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You are dismissed unto prayer. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.